I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Mark, second book in the New Testament. It's page 707 of the Bible in the pew. Mark chapter 1. The text is on the screen for you. And when we left Jesus last Sunday, you may remember, if you were here, that Jesus called two sets of brothers to follow him: Simon and Andrew, James and John. And he invited these two sets of brothers to walk away from their fishing jobs in order to follow him. Well, a lot's happened since Jesus did that in the last week, since you and I were together. And so I want you to look at this map on the screens now. It's a map of the area of Galilee. You see Capernaum at the top of the map, front and center and bold, and that's where a lot of action has happened so far. And that whole area around the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum is Galilee. And so Jesus visited the synagogue in Capernaum on a Sabbath day. And if, as you glance through Mark chapter 1, as he went there to teach, his teaching absolutely amazed those who had gathered there. Jesus also performed an exorcism in the synagogue in Capernaum. And in a couple of weeks, I'll be preaching a sermon and unpacking Jesus actually doing an exorcism. And then after he does the exorcism, Jesus leaves the synagogue and he goes to the home of Simon and Andrew, and there Simon's mother-in-law, the scriptures tell us in Mark 1, is sick with a fever. And so she's in bed, and so Jesus comes in, and he heals the mother-in-law of Simon, and she gets up, feels great, recovers immediately, and she goes about serving the people who were there in the house. That same evening, this is quite a day, the whole city, Mark tells us, of Capernaum, they gather at the door of the house, and Jesus heals a lot of people. So can you imagine this? You're over at somebody's house, and you have a house guest, and he helps someone get well, and all of a sudden you look out, and there's all of San Diego at your door. That's what happens here. Jesus also performs a lot of exorcisms. But an interesting thing happens. He does not want his identity out, and so he instructs everyone, including the demons, not to share his identity as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, as the anointed Messiah. And so if I could summarize what's happened since we left Jesus last Sunday, I'd use two verses, and you can see them in your Bibles. First of all, verse 34, Mark chapter 1, verse 34. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was, and he didn't want the word to get out yet. The second summary I would offer you is verse 39. So he, Jesus, traveled throughout Galilee. We saw that area on the map around Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. So Jesus is launched all-out war on the evil one, on Satan and on his demons and on sickness, as he operates here in Mark chapter 1. So as I think about what's about to happen next, I have a question for you. What illness do you personally fear experiencing? What illness do you most fear experiencing? In February 2011, which was exactly a year ago this month, MetLife, the MetLife Foundation, did a survey of U.S. American adults, and they asked U.S. American adults like us in this survey what disease they feared most. Any guesses on what the number one disease is that people most fear? Cancer, exactly right. Some 41% of those surveyed. Number two, any guesses on what number two might be on the list? Alzheimer's, exactly right. Alzheimer's, 31% feared Alzheimer's. Next comes what some of you guessed, heart disease and stroke were named by 8% each, while only 6% said they fear diabetes most. I imagine that if the MetLife Foundation does a survey today in Mark 1 in the area of Galilee and asks, what is the disease that you most fear, that 100% of the people would say the disease of leprosy. Now, before I get into this man's story, let me introduce you to leprosy, or this sermon won't make any sense at all to you, and what Jesus does won't make any sense at all to you. Leprosy. In Galilee, people are very, very aware of lepers because there are a lot of them. Lepers are as common in Galilee as people who struggle today with acid reflux or allergies. My understanding is that acid reflux is the number one treated disease today. I'm going to take a risk and ask, how many of you here struggle with acid reflux? I do. I take a prescription every morning for acid reflux. It developed about 6 years ago, about the time I moved to San Diego. I think it's the weather. And my nurse just said, you know, as you get older, things don't work quite like they used to. And someone said, amen, I think I heard. And so I take medication every day for acid reflux. So it's about as common as that, or allergies. How many of you have allergies? I don't know that I have any allergies, but other than to peas, of course, but allergies. So leprosy is that common. People are very aware of lepers because leprosy is a visible, highly contagious disease. And you've probably never seen anyone with leprosy in the United States. Here's a photo on the screen of a very mild early case of leprosy. I did not want to traumatize you by showing you more advanced, more severe occurrences of leprosy. This is very early. Leprosy is a painful skin condition. It starts as painful red open sores like these, and it can progress over time to cause serious nerve damage. And the result of nerve damage is numbness and desensitization, and the leper loses all sense of touch and pain, and initially in the fingers and in the toes, and then it spreads up the legs, and it spreads up the arms. Without the sense of touch, the ill person eventually damages his toes and fingers and feet. And so he will bruise them. He will cut them. He will get infections. He will burn them and never notice because of the numbness. And so the leper feels nothing in his fingers and toes. And as a result, if you're out grilling and you burn your hand, you won't even feel it. If you hit your hand, or you hit your foot while you're working or playing sports or doing yard work, you're unaware of it. Eventually, you start losing limbs from the damage of leprosy as it spreads. And as leprosy spreads, many lepers go blind because without feeling in your eyes, you forget to blink. People with leprosy are quarantined to prevent the spread of leprosy, and they are not allowed to live within a city. On the screens, I have a quotation for you from Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. This is what the Old Testament says about leprosy. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes. Let their hair be kept unkempt to cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean! As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. As long as a leper is infected with leprosy, he must live alone in total isolation. due to their conditions, lepers are permanently unemployed. No one wants to hire you. If you're a fisherman, no one wants to buy the fish of a leper. So you live alone in isolation, and family and friends, because you're unemployed, who want to help you and support you, will bring food and supplies to a neutral place. And they will leave their home, go to the neutral place, drop the food and supplies, go back home. The leper leaves their place outside the camp, outside the city. They go to the neutral place, they get the food and supplies, then they go back home. Lepers live in isolation. Lepers are outcasts. The latest fashions mean nothing to a leper. The latest hairstyles, remember what we read in Leviticus, it means nothing to a leper. The latest products at Bath and Body Works mean nothing to a leper. They're required to dress and behave as a mourner with disheveled hair and torn clothing and a covered face and walk around their face down like this, because people felt like when you look at a leper, you're looking at a walking corpse. They are the walking dead. And his cry of unclean, unclean, whenever he approaches others, prevents people from coming near. There's a popular belief that even the breath of a leper can contaminate others and spread leprosy. They can't be around other people because it's believed that even if they sneeze, that those around them could be infected with the disease. Leprosy also carries a rotting stench due to the rotting of the skin. It is a horrible disease. So lepers are always alone or with other lepers, and suffering from leprosy is, as I mentioned a moment ago, what one writer calls the living death. Leprosy is the Ebola, the bubonic plague, the black death, the HIV/AIDS of Jesus' day. No fingers, no toes, isolated from others, alone. No one wants to touch you, and even if they touched you, you would not feel them. Dr. Paul Brand, a medical missionary born to missionary parents in India who was trained in the United Kingdom and served as a missionary for many years, retired here to the United States and practiced medicine in Seattle until his death about sometime during the 1990s, he's credited with writing this about lepers. Quote, the loneliest people of all are the one for whom leprosy has also destroyed their sight. Like many others in the world, they're blind, but unlike most of the blind, they can't use their hands to bring them sensations that their eyes are denied because they can't feel either. They are really alone. End quote. Have you ever watched someone who's blind feel their environment with their hands? My great-grandmother was as blind as a bat before she died. And I remember the night that my grandmother, her daughter, flew into town. We were living in Dallas at the time. And my girlfriend, fiance, well, she was my fiance then, who became my wife, and I picked up my grandmother at the airport, took her to my great-grandmother's blazing hot house, which she thought was chilly, and she couldn't see. And so my grandmother said, "Hey, Mom, this is Carlton, and he brought his fiance he's going to marry with them. Her name is Carol, and we just want you to meet her." And so my blind grandmother stood up and took her hands and started at the top of Carol's head and went and felt her, because that's how she could sense her environment. And I just stood there with my eyes waiting for the matriarch to speak. And the matriarch said, "I approve." Imagine if my great-grandmother had no sense of touch. So she can't see and she can't touch. Imagine how alone that would feel. You see, leprosy is about isolation, and it's about aloneness. And leprosy is a picture of sin eating away and going deep inside of you. And leprosy is an image of sin gradually destroying who you are and making you less and less and less human. Leprosy is about destroying all of your relationships and leaving you all alone, unloved and rejected and hopeless. Psalm 31:11, I think, puts in words how a leper feels. I was reading this as I was reading the Bible this past week. Some of you are joining me in reading through the Bible this year, and so I was reading in Psalm 31, and this is what it says. "People disdain me. My neighbors are appalled by my suffering. Those who know me are horrified by my condition. Those who see me in the street run away from me. I am forgotten. Like a dead man, no one thinks about. I'm regarded as worthless, like a broken jar." Now, I want to show you some unclean men. Look at the screen here. Here are three unclean young men. Do any of you recognize any of them? Okay, I know some of you do. At the time of this photo, they are freshman engineering students at Cal Poly up in San Luis Obispo. And they just finished playing a pickup soccer game with a bunch of friends from the dorms. And after they finished their game, they did what most young men that age would do. They slid around in the mud, and hence the dirtiness. Now imagine with me that as you leave this service this morning, look down at your clothing. Just look at how you dress. Look at yourself, okay? Anyone you had, are any of you covered in mud? Okay, so imagine as you leave the service today, you go up the aisles and you go through the foyer and you go out on a patio, and there are these three young men standing there like this with a big smile on their face waiting to hug you. Imagine that. They're not criminals. I can testify to that. I know all three of them. They're not criminals. They're followers of Christ. They're not dangerous. Two of the three of them have connection to this local church. Some of you know two of the three of them. Imagine that Aaron and Adam and Colin are standing on the patio in this condition. By the way, one of them is my son, the one on the left, the tall one. And the one in the middle is Adam, who grew up in College Avenue. And so imagine that they're out there, they're standing on the patio in this condition with their arms wide open. And big smiles on their faces, waiting to hug you. How would you respond? Today, we will see how Jesus responds to a leper, who for a Jewish person is the ultimate in uncleanness. Let's watch and not just watch, but I want you to feel this conversation that Jesus has with this leper in verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him, and that's Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. It has been said that the biggest disease today is not leprosy. It's not cancer. It's the feeling of being uncared for, of being unwanted, of being deserted, and being alone. And here, this man has leprosy. But he also feels uncared for, and he feels unwanted, and he feels deserted, and he feels alone until he approaches Jesus, you can see it here, on his knees, begging. This man knows the rules for lepers. This man knows that he's required to shout, unclean, unclean. And here he is on his knees, close to Jesus. On his knees, in humility. And he bows before Jesus as someone would to any superior in this culture. You can hear his voice tremble, can't you? You can see the tears trickle down his cheeks. Why do you think this man comes to Jesus? Why? What does the leper ask of Jesus here? What does he want Jesus to do for him? Does the leper ask, heal my leprosy? Does the leper say, Jesus, would you please heal my disease? Does the leper say, Jesus, could you restore my fingers and my toes? No, the answer is found in verse 40, and you can see it there in your Bibles. If you are willing, you can make me clean. I love the way the leper says that. This man has no doubt in Jesus' ability. He knows that Jesus has the power to make him clean. The only doubt in his mind has to do with the purposes of Jesus. Now, whether or not we always attach the words, if you are willing, to our prayers. We talked about this last month. Remember when we looked at the prayer of Jesus in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane? And whether or not we always attach the words, if you are willing, to our prayers, these words should always be expressed in our hearts as we pray. Jesus last month in the garden said, if it is possible, let this cup pass, but not my will, but your will be done. The leper saying, Jesus, if you will, you have the power to make me clean. Jesus, you can do whatever you want to do. You don't have to, but I'm asking that you would. You have the power to do whatever you want to do. You're kind and you're generous and you're loving and I'm offering my request to you. This is the desire of my heart. And we have the privilege and the right to express our desires in prayer. And God urges us to, but ultimately we have to trust that God knows best. And so verse 40 says, Jesus, the leper says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. The leper saying, I want to worship God, but I can't. But I know you can make me clean, so I can. The leper saying, I want to touch other people. And I want other people to touch me. I want to hug other people. I want other people to hug me. I want to be a part of God's people. And I have faith that you have the power to cleanse me. So the leper wants physical healing, but getting cleansed is much more important to him than getting healed. What happens next in this culture is absolutely stunning. Notice the emotions of Jesus, verse 41. Filled with compassion. Jesus' reaction to leprosy is the first time that Mark records emotion expressed by Jesus. Since January of 1980, I'll never forget the day. The word compassion has been tied for number one as my favorite word in the New Testament. Some of you know the Greek language some. The word is splagnizomai, compassion. And Jesus is filled with compassion. A better stated, Jesus is moved to the guts as he feels the leper's pain. And so Here's my definition of compassion. Compassion is me feeling your pain in my heart. Compassion. Two nights ago, my wife and I received an email from a very good friend back east, and her first husband died of a heart attack when he was about 46 years old. Sudden heart attack, sitting at work at his desk, and literally died of a heart attack. I remember receiving a phone call. I was driving on an interstate in Cleveland on my way to my son's baseball game. He was in seventh grade, and I lost control of my car momentarily and swerved off the road because I was in such shock when I got the phone call. And so a few years later, she remarried a widower who had lost his wife to cancer. And my wife and I went back east for the wedding. And her husband, his name is Larry. Larry has kids, and his second daughter is named Heather. And she's a wife and a mom in her late 20s. And here are some of the excerpts from the email that they sent us Friday. It says, Heather, who less than 3 months ago was diagnosed with a tennis ball-sized tumor on her brain that is an aggressive, incurable cancer. She had surgeries in November, December, and January. She's married to a pastor. Her boys are 2 years old and 7 months old. It has now been 37 days since her third surgery, and we are thanking the Lord every day that He gives her. Heather was able to write a short letter to each of the boys after the first surgery, and she and Kevin, the husband, have created a beautiful hardbound book of pictures telling their family story so that the boys will have pictures with their mom. Heather surrendered her life to the Lord and just wanted to serve Him wherever and in whatever way He would choose. And Heather now knows that the Lord has chosen this particular path as her way to bring Him the most glory. Remember, this is a woman. This isn't a cliche. This is a woman who lost her husband when he was 46 years old, and she was left as a widow with five children, who married a man who lost his wife to cancer after an 8-month battle, and he was left with four children. The path to bring Him the most glory. And she goes on and says, understandably, this has been a shock and a difficult time for all our family. Heather was diagnosed with cancer 7 years after her mother had been diagnosed with cancer. And her mom lived another 8 months, and it has brought back a lot of sad and painful memories for many of the family. When I read that, I felt compassion. Like from somewhere deep in here, I was moved to the guts the other day when my wife and I were in Costco. We stopped by for me to get some chocolate-covered raisins because I was out. And I was standing there in line, and at the next cashier, there was a man standing there, and his head was tilted all the way over like this. And so when he got up to the check stand to talk to the cashier, when he went to talk to her, he took his hand and he pushed his head up like this, and he held it while he conversed with her, and then he removed his hand and his head just went back like that. As I stood there looking at that man, I was deeply moved to feel compassion for him, thinking, what must it be like to drive? Or can he drive? And can he kiss his wife? Can he kiss his grandkids? Can he look at his computer and his email? And I was deeply moved. It seems like, as I reflected on last week, it was sort of like I was in compassion school all week, because it was just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, where I saw pain and I kept thinking over and over and over about Jesus and this leper and feeling compassion for him. Some of you know that probably know that someone Friday afternoon jumped off the Balboa overpass on the 805. Were you aware of that? A lady jumped off the bridge, got hit and killed, and we didn't know what had happened, but my wife and I were on the other side of the freeway on the 805 headed north on our way up for an appointment, and the freeway was shut down, and there were, I don't know how many CHP cars and people, and we're like, what happened? And that's what happened, and it just stirred something deep, deep in me. When Jesus sees the leper on his knees begging to be made clean, verse 41 says he's filled with compassion. And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. Now, what the leper is expecting, I think, is a word from Jesus. And what he gets is a touch from Jesus. Jesus feels this leper's pain right to his guts, and Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. Touching a leper is just something that you simply don't do. It's a no-no. The religious leaders have a rule that you cannot touch someone with leprosy, because if you do, you will become ceremonially and religiously unclean. Now, let me be quick to say this rule isn't in the Bible. But before we're too hard on the religious leaders, how many rules like that do we have that aren't in the Bible? Despite the rule, Jesus says, I love him. And I'm going to identify myself with him. And he needs me to touch him. Jesus doesn't have to touch the leper to heal him. Jesus could be in the next county and heal him. Jesus could be on the moon and heal the man. He doesn't have to touch him. But this touch for which, this is the touch for which the leper has been waiting for his entire life. The touch humanizes the man. Jesus publicly dignifies and honors the man as a human being. And in fact, as you read through Mark, Jesus touches people several times in Mark, and touch is a gesture of a personal care and concern, and it's an expression of compassion. You know, there are people in this room who the only touch they'll get from a human being is what we give them on Sunday morning, because they live alone, because they might be widowed, because they're isolated. And when you stand out there and give them a hug, or stand up after service and you give them a hug, it might be the only touch they get until they see you next time. We as a church have the privilege of being the hands of Jesus. It's our privilege and our opportunity to reach out and touch hurting people. People who are broken and desperate and needy and unclean, and to touch them with the love of Jesus. To take young men who are in gangs in the mid-cities, like Tony, who stood here with his wife and his kids, and touch someone like him with the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and look at what's happened to him. He's not in prison. He's serving the King of Kings and telling people the good news of Jesus Christ because he was touched by people in this church family. Next month, we have an opportunity to serve homeless San Diegans who are trying to get back on their feet as we host a shelter. We do this twice a year. It's just a very practical way to touch people with the love of Jesus. And so as you leave today, Sam Lewis and some of his team will be out at the kiosk in the patio, and could you just go by and encourage them and say, I'll come and touch someone. Verse 41. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I'm willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. I think better would be to say he was cleansed. What is amazing is that instead of the leprosy defiling Jesus and making Jesus unclean, which is what usually happens, Jesus makes the leper clean. The Old Testament is filled with the concept of holiness, a holy temple, a holy place, a most holy place, a holy city. And so in the Old Testament, barriers were erected to create and protect holiness and holy space and prevent contamination and defilement. And if that which was holy came into contact with that which was unholy or unclean, the holy never made the unclean holy. The unclean made the clean, the holy unclean. But now Jesus, he touches an unclean leper and immediately cures him and makes him clean. And there are two results that happen here. You can see them in your Bible. Jesus heals the disease of leprosy and Jesus cleanses the leper. Verse 43. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So what's going on here? Well, what's going on here is Jesus doesn't want television cameras following him around. Jesus doesn't want TMZ or 60 Minutes or the five on Fox News discussing him. Jesus doesn't want the paparazzi hounding him. Jesus doesn't want people tweeting about him. Jesus is not interested in publicity. He's only interested in changed lives. And so Jesus gives the leper some strange instructions in the form of a very strong warning. In fact, it's kind of a growl. It's kind of a scold. Now, we know it wasn't sinful because he's the Son of God and he never sinned. But it's a growling scold. And Jesus, in my language, the way I say things is, he gets in the leper's face. And he says, keep this healing and cleansing a secret, and I don't want you saying anything to anyone about it and what I just did to you. So just go and show yourself to the priest in the temple in Jerusalem and present the offering described and prescribed in Leviticus 14 as a witness to them. Jesus wants to keep this healing a secret so that people don't misunderstand or misinterpret this event and put the kingdom mission of Christ at risk with distractions and with crowds. So does the man who was formerly a leper go witness in Jerusalem? Your answer is in verse 45. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places, yet people still came to him from everywhere. So what they did is a role reversal. The leper went from being outside the camp and being in lonely places to now going around talking to everyone, and now Jesus is forced into exile in the lonely places. This is exactly what Jesus did not want to happen. This man disobeys Jesus. So, what's the point of this story? Jesus changes lives, and today Jesus heals a leper. But let me make this more personal for you. Jesus has the power and the compassion to change your life and to make you clean. Some of you watching this encounter between Jesus and the leper may watch it and may say, unclean, unclean, that's me. I'm bad. I'm dirty. I'm disgusting. I've done some horrible, ugly, filthy, dirty things in my life. And I struggle with things that no one knows about. And I'm losing the battle most days to pornography, to promiscuity, to food, to hoarding, to drunkenness, to laziness, to cutting, to lying. And as you sit there and as you look at me, you're saying in your head to me and to others around you, if you knew my past and present struggles, my impure thoughts, the anger, the bitterness, the lust, the pride, there is no way that you would ever even touch me, let alone love me. And others of you who are here suffering, you're suffering from some very horrible, wicked, ugly things that have been done not by you, but to you. You've been betrayed and deceived and cheated on and lied to and taken advantage of and abused and assaulted and molested, and you're full of shame and you feel like you are a mistake and you just want someone to love you. You just want someone to touch you in an appropriate, healthy way. Here is the biblical truth from the leper story that you need to hear today. Jesus has the power and the compassion to change your life and to make you clean. Jesus feels your pain in his heart. And Jesus will touch you and cleanse you just like he did the leper. And so the question is, will you humble yourself like the leper and fall on your knees and ask, Jesus, would you please heal me and cleanse me? The good news is that Jesus will say to you exactly what he said to the leper. I am willing. Be clean. In Christ, you are clean. In Christ, you're clean. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and following says this, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the good part. And that is what some of you were. Past tense. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of our God, Jesus has the power and the compassion to change your life and make you clean. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you may not know this. You may have thought that all Christianity is guilt all the time. All guilt all the time. 24/7. Guilt, 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 guilt. You may think that we just remind you all the time of all the bad, wrong things you've done. But here's the reality of the matter. We remind you of all the wrong you do, and then we remind you of the love of Jesus and what he has done for you. Jesus has the power and compassion to change your life, to make you clean. And Jesus, he keeps on cleansing unclean lepers like you and me. Jesus changes lives. And that is what I am personally excited about. And that is what our church is excited about the fact that Jesus changes lives.